numbers of these articles of confession. And again, as I've been doing, let me read the paragraph to you, and then we will look at some portions of Scripture to further understand the doctrine of perseverance. The paragraph says, "Those whom God hath accepted in the Beloved and sanctified by His Spirit will never totally nor finally fall away from the state of grace, but shall certainly persevere to the end. And though they may fall through neglect and temptation into sin, whereby they grieve the Spirit, impair their graces and comforts, bring reproach on the church, and temporal judgments on themselves, yet they shall be renewed again unto repentance, and be kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation." Perseverance, again, is similar to the last couple of doctrines we've considered, justification and sanctification. Perseverance is a greatly misunderstood doctrine. You have, on the one hand, those who, perhaps from a little bit more reformed perspective, would put very little emphasis on our own duty in regard to perseverance and would much more overemphasize that Christ keeps us, which is wonderful truth, and we'll talk about that. On the other hand, you have those who would maybe overemphasize man's work and part in persevering in his faith and minimize that the keeping of Christ is what is absolutely necessary for us to make it. So again, balance is the key. One of my mentors that really helped me a lot years past, John Didier, always used to say, truth out of balance leads to heresy. Now, that wasn't original with him, but he emphasized that over and over to me. And he said, remember, truth out of balance always leads to heresy. And so that can happen here as well. So we have to see a clear balance between what man is required, as the Scripture says, to do, and yet the overarching and undergirding principle that Christ keeps His own. Both are very necessary. Now, I've selected, first of all, a verse from Matthew 10 to get us started. So if you want to turn to Matthew 10, this chapter is where Jesus prepares and sends out the 12 apostles to begin to minister, to preach, to teach, to heal, to do mighty works of power to confirm the message of the gospel. So you're probably familiar with that. And he gives them several instructions about how they're to do it, what to watch for, and so forth. And then down in verse 22, it says, he says to them, "And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endures to the end shall be saved." I've referenced that quote quite often through the years. You may remember me doing it when we're going through some study that's taking us especially long. I've said, for example, when we were in Isaiah about 3 years, I said, "He that endures to the end of Isaiah, the same shall be saved." But, of course, Jesus' emphasis here is not just being patient, waiting on getting a task finished. The reason I selected this statement from this particular place is because this statement is also found, for example, in Mark 13:13. And there it's in the context of Jesus talking about the end times. And so many times when someone thinks about perseverance and they think of this statement, they would put it in the context that Mark has Jesus saying it in. And of course, it's a repetition from earlier, but they don't think about that. In other words, they think, okay, what Jesus is saying is he who's still on the earth when all these terrible judgments come, if that's the way they see it, if he can just make it to the end, then he'll be delivered physically and miss all this great persecution when Jesus comes again. Well, there may be some plausibility to that. That's not particularly my view of what that verse in that context even means, but certainly for our use today, we don't need to hold off perseverance in our minds to that, just saying, okay, if we can just hang on to the second coming, if we live that long, then we'll make it. Because Jesus tells this to the disciples at the beginning of their ministry, doesn't he? He that endures to the end shall be saved. So let's look at a couple of points here that this verse and some verses we'll consider also have to say. First of all, when Jesus says, "He that endures to the end," he's speaking of the saints' responsibility in regard to perseverance. The very word perseverance means to keep on going, to not fail, right? To keep on the track, to continue toward a goal and ultimately reach that goal. That's what to persevere means. And so Jesus says, he that is able to do that will be saved. So we can't water down what Jesus says here by saying, well, it's all up to God. Well, it is all up to God, but it's also up to us. See, both are true. And so he's talking about the saint's responsibility. Now, the word endure literally means to abide under some situation, to be able to make it and last under a situation. Here, of course, and especially in Mark 13, focusing on the latter days, Jesus is talking about enduring persecution for the gospel, enduring all the difficulties that go along with being a witness for Christ. Even if you don't suffer imprisonment and martyrdom, there's many ways persecution can come, right? And some of us, even in our wonderful land where we live, where at least at this point you can still pretty much freely stand for your faith in most cases, but even we in this situation have had times when we knew we were persecuted. It may have simply been by somebody turning a deaf ear to us, or saying, I don't want to hear that, or saying, well, you're just a hypocrite, blah, blah, blah. You know, we've had some things, haven't we? So, again, the idea is to abide under whatever circumstances you're in and to continue to until the end. So he puts it, Jesus does, very forcefully in our responsibility to do so. Now, how do you do that? Well, obviously, you do it by holding on to Christ in your faith, in your knowledge, in your heart affections. That's what you do. Through the Word and by the Holy Spirit, you continually pursue and hold on to Christ. And you have a Jacob approach to the Christian life. I will not let go until you bless me. And ultimately, in that application, the blessing would be finally reaching our destination that God has determined for us. So again, we don't need to minimize the fact that Jesus here and in other places emphasizes, you better hold on to me. You better continue to pursue Christ. Now, if we think about it, even understanding the wonderful sovereignty of God and His preserving power, if we think about it, this is very practical. Because what it will do, if we give heed to it and follow it, it will keep us from getting too complacent and lax about our Christian life. Now, I would bring in here what Paul says, and there are many other places we could go, but what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 13:5, again, writing to a church, and primarily to those within the church who really are the church, who really are born again, he says, examine yourselves to see whether you're in the faith. Test your own selves. Do you not know that Christ is in you unless you fail the test? Now, to me, that connects very clearly with what we're talking about here, perseverance. And in the original, that's put in a present tense where Paul is saying, always be examining yourself. Now, he's saying it to Christians, folks. It's not for the purpose of making us in any way doubt our salvation, but rather to prove it, to approve it, to be more and more grounded and settled in the fact that we are really related to Christ. That's why he says it. Be looking at your heart. Don't go by what you say or what you experienced last week or 10 years ago. Look at your heart. Where are you right now? Well, that's perseverance. So the saint has a responsibility. Jesus makes it clear, as do other writers of Scripture, Paul and others. Now, but if we only had that, then again, we would fall into the error that many Christians have and still do, or many who profess Christ, and that is to say, well, it's completely up to us. Once we get saved, if we don't do what we're supposed to do, we'll lose our salvation. And of course, that is totally incorrect. And there's mountains of Scripture that would deny that. But there are many who certainly hold on to that and profess that. I remember talking to a friend of mine several years ago. We don't have much contact now just because of distance, but we were working in the same place at the time. And we got into this discussion, and I believe he's really born again. I really do. I mean, he had a great Christian testimony as far as I could tell. You know, as much as we can go on the outward and hear someone's heart, I believe he's saved. Yet he believed he could lose his salvation. He did believe it was very, very difficult for it to happen, but he believed it could happen. But he told me one time as I was showing him scriptures and saying, that just can't happen. He said, well, I hope you're right, because then I really don't have anything to worry about, even though I worry sometimes. Now, see, what that is that's a misunderstanding of perseverance. Perseverance does not mean that it's totally up to you to hang on to Jesus, no more than salvation can mean that it was totally up to you to get saved. Right? I mean, salvation is of the Lord, Jonah 2 verse 9. Right? So if it's His work from beginning to end, then it's not that it all hinges on whether or not we do what we're supposed to do once we've met the Lord. On the other hand, we cannot dismiss, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. And again, Paul is writing primarily to believers at that point in the Hebrew letter. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. You see, again, it keeps us from becoming lazy, but rightly understood, it also will keep us from being proud and man-centered and thinking that it's all up to us to get to heaven. Because if it is, I got bad news for you. None of us are going to make it if it's up to us completely. So, then to balance the saint's responsibility, we have Jesus' sure guarantee that He will preserve us. Let's go over to John 10. John chapter 10, verse 27. Jesus says, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand. My Father which gave them Me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of My Father's hand." And then He says, "I and My Father are one." One in essence, one in being. Both God. So, Jesus is promising that His sheep not only will hear Him and follow Him, but they will be preserved fully to the end. And no man is able to pluck them out of Jesus' hand nor the Father's hand. So there's a great assurance there. Jesus, after He instructs us in the previous verse to hold on to Him, to persevere, to endure, to keep pursuing Christ, and don't back off, don't give up. Don't get complacent. Don't get lazy. Don't think you've arrived. Keep pressing on. Then He says, "I'm going to guarantee that you're going to make it. I guarantee that you will be with Me in glory because My sheep are preserved." So you see, the doctrine of perseverance has as its mirror image, or the other side of its coin, preservation. And I think that's the best way it always has been for me to think about this. Perseverance and preservation are two sides of the same coin. Perseverance is man's responsibility. Preservation is Christ's responsibility. And that's a sure guarantee it's going to happen, right? Again, notice how He puts it. Verse 28 here. "They shall never perish." It's a double negative in the Greek. Comes out, not never, no time, no how will they perish. It's a guarantee. And only that can give us the peace and comfort to persevere. Right? Does that make sense? In other words, if I have before me, looking at the Scripture, it's continued admonitions for me to hold fast till Jesus comes, to endure to the end, to examine my heart regularly, see if I'm in the faith, to go through 1 John and check myself out by all the tests for spiritual life that John gives, and on I could go. If that's all set before me, but I have no assurance that I have the help and strength and preservation of Christ, then one of two things is going to happen. I'm either going to just throw in the towel and say, "Forget it, I can't do it," or I'm going to begin to think, as I've already said, it's up to me. And as long as I put forth enough effort, then I will be saved. And see, both of those are incorrect. So, perseverance can only be rightly understood and accomplished when we believe in preservation by Jesus Christ. And that's really what Romans 8 is all about, isn't it? The latter part of the chapter, right? None of these things Paul goes through can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And he gives a great list that really is a general list to cover all the bases. And though it's not stated that way, it covers us ourselves as well. In other words, Paul is saying, you can't even separate yourself from Jesus. The devil can't. Powers, men, angels, demons, circumstances, trials, afflictions, all those things. Nothing can separate you from Christ if you're in Christ. So that's our confidence and that's our hope. But again, it is not designed to make us lazy and say, "Well, I know I got saved, so I don't have to worry about anything." Doesn't matter what my life is like. That is, to use a theological term, antinomianism, or against law. Antinomian. I remember R.C. Sproul one time saying that the antinomian sings this hymn this way. Let's see, how's it go? Oh, I can't think of it. The latter part is, I can sin all I want and still have remission. This is the way he put it. And changing the words. In other words, saying, I think it's Jesus has died and I have remission. I can sin all I want and still have remission. And of course, that's incorrect. Very incorrect. And in fact, the very attitude like that would betray an unsaved heart, no matter what the person thinks about themselves. Right? So, God implants in us not only the Spirit to guide and lead and protect and seal us and preserve us, but the Spirit is in us to make us long after holiness and to continue to pursue that. And if we don't, it may just be a season when we've given in to sin and have not repented. But if it is, we'll come out of it. God will bring us out of it, whatever way He has to, including chastisement. But if we stay there, then it's a good indicator we never were born again to begin with. And so, this promise and that in Romans 8 is so extremely important. And then, of course, I would just mention, without turning there, 1 Peter 1:5, which is really basically what the paragraph says at the end here. We are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. That's a very... I mean, my goodness, that statement is packed with enough theology to fill volumes if it was really, really minutely expounded. We are kept by the power of God, that's preservation, through faith, that's perseverance, unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. That is the full revelation of our salvation when we get to heaven, right? So again, perseverance is a precious doctrine. Rightly understood, it is the means by which the Christian keeps going, no matter what the load is, no matter how difficult it is, because he or she understands Christ has guaranteed you're going to make it. He's guaranteed that. And He's preserving us while we seek to persevere in the faith. And they have to go together, right? Okay, questions or comments about that? We've got a little time if anybody has any discussion about it.